It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line with a death wish. Right, didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Heel for stepping in, and he expected to do that show with Lance. Of course, sometimes life gets in the way, so Lance couldn't join us today, and Raheel, appreciate you. And as we ended the show, I hit the horn, the Lance horn, to give you that breaking news that there is now another job opening in the NFL. And that job opening is of little concern, at least right now, for the Texans, because they got the playoffs to focus on, but for all you guys dream casting a scenario where the Texans replace their OC again, the guy who a lot of people think would be great because of his ingenuity and what he did for a quarterback people didn't think a lot of is now available. Mike McDaniel is available. So in a Texans point of view, that's an option if you don't like how the season or the playoffs go. Because right now, if you look at it, surprisingly enough, the Texans are top 15 offense points-wise without diving deep into defensive touchdowns and the fact you kick a lot of field goals. If you're a Nick Caley person or just Nick Caley himself, you'll say, hey, I had a bad O-line, only one legit NFL receiver to start. Christian Kirk is a slot, but how effective is Christian Kirk? And, of course, he's injured quite a bit. And I had a bunch of rookies. And look what I've done. So that's how you defend yourself if you're Nick Caley. We won 12 games with my offense, I guess he could say, if he decided he wanted to lie to our face and act like we don't know what's actually going on. But his
offense was
to win
part
12
of
games,
those wins.
And I had a backup quarterback for multiple games, and we still kept winning. So if you are Nick Caley's agent or his representatives, and you know that the hot name at OC is now available, we can ignore maybe the fact that Mike McDaniel certainly is a man who can make a decision about not wanting to coach.
No.
Or not wanting to be an OC.
He would want to come back to the Texans.
A place where he lost his job, and now it did change his life. If you don't know that story, Mike McDaniel was fired from the Texans because he had a problem with drinking. So he had to recalibrate who he was as the person, and getting fired by Gary Kubiak helped that happen. So would he like to return as an OC to a place where it might have been the lowest point of his career? I don't know.
Full circle, baby.
Maybe.
Now he's coming in on top.
Or maybe he waits.
After being fired by the Miami Dolphins because they want to hire John Harbaugh.
Yeah. Yes.
He was already employed and was told that he would return.
He wasn't told.
Oh, okay.
He had just been given no indication.
I thought he got like some sort of vote of confidence or something.
He didn't. He had a meeting with the owner, Stephen Ross, and he wasn't immediately fired. But Mike McDaniel was operating under the assumption that he would be back. And then the statement by the Dolphins is, after much reflection, after meeting with the coach, I have decided that we need to part ways. That was from the owner.
After seeing that the Ravens fired John Harbaugh.
That's not in a statement. That's you making assumptions. They may be dead on. But that's just you making assumptions. And by the way, even if it's not Harbaugh, probably the right decision either way.
Yeah, no, I mean, he probably spent the first 8 weeks of the season being the most likely first coach fired, right? on all the Vegas boards. I was just like, until what, October, November, everyone's just like, so when the Miami Dolphins fired Mike McDaniel, then what?
It was assumed that he was on the board for first to get fired, even before they started bad, because the vibes were all bad. And it turns out the people who said the vibes were bad were right. All the names, Tyreek out, McDaniel out, Greer out, and Tua out. And they'll be resetting, and maybe Harbaugh's the one they go to, or maybe it's someone else. But there could be a big-time OC available if the Texans look that way. But they got playoff games. And maybe it's not even a concern because they run through the playoffs.
College football has told me that you can do two things at once. That you can
That's true.
Find a new coach, entirely new coaching staff while winning playoff games. I think, the Texans should just make it happen right now. Just hire Mike McDaniel.
If they play poorly offensively, which is certainly possible against the Steelers on the road, I think it could happen. Not the McDaniel thing, but they get away from Kaylee.
I do think.
But I don't think it's likely, though.
Yeah. No.
I don't think they want to be looked at as a team who hires a third OC in four seasons.
And Kaylee played, called plays well enough to where I think it's just whenever the Texans lose in the playoffs, like, it will be ugly, because they win ugly. And so if they, lose to Pittsburgh, if they lose to, the Broncos, if they lose to the Patriots, whoever it is, they're going to do it by scoring 16 points.
Yeah, it'll likely be an ugly offensive performance because their defense will be good enough to keep them in the game.
They just haven't lost in 2 months. And so we haven't had to be like, oh, this off, Nick Haley, figure it out. Because they win. They won games. And they have looked better on offense. They have looked more like a competent unit on offense. And I think it is safe to say that Nick Haley got better at being a OC for the first time over the course of a season. I think that's completely valid to say, is that he was bad to start the season and got better, much like a rookie quarterback, much like the rookie receivers that he was dealing with. Jaden Higgins looks a lot better now than he did to start the season, but I still don't think it'll stop people from if the Texans lose in the playoffs, it will look ugly, and then people going, hey, Mike McDaniel. It'll start all back up again.
Tough, tough beat for Ian Rappaport. He's the one who put it out there that McDaniel is likely to be back.
Okay.
So that's where you might have seen it.
Yeah.
Rappaport was on, and I think one of their other NFL Network guys was on it too. So sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. He drops this one to Schefter because Schefter never did that and then broke the news that he was fired. So there that is. Maybe the Texans have a move to make if it comes down to that, but I don't see it happening. You don't want to seem reactionary, particularly as we've seen the offense play better as the year's gone on. Higgins has played better, of course. Nico, when he's out there, still going to be Nico. And you're able to navigate missing your starting quarterback for several games to win 9 games in a row.
And the bar for me was always pretty high for, you need to change something to have a third offensive coordinator in 3 years.
Yeah.
The bar for, this has to be, the first, 6 games of the season. Because even once they started winning games, it still wasn't, impressive in any way. Mm-hmm. But basically, since the win streak started, what was that? Was that the Niners game or was there a loss and then it was the Jags game? I forgot which one was a start. But basically, since the Niners game, you're like, okay, this offense looks like, you said the 15th in points scored. They look like an average-ish NFL offense. A little below average when you count all the times that the defense puts them in scoring positions and all that.
Maybe that should have been the ceiling coming into the year, considering the inexperience at wide receiver, the offensive line, which we knew wasn't going to be good, and of course Joe Mixon not being available all year. Being average offensively probably is the heights of what they can reach, and they, at this point, after 17 games, have done that. The playoffs against better, we would assume, defenses throughout could tell a different tale. But right now, your favorite on the road in Pittsburgh. Let's go get that one.
Did Nick Haley ever give us an update on Joe Mixon? A second or third update?
No,
or,
I don't believe he did. I think that stopped being a coordinator thing pretty quickly. Okay. And it was strictly a GM/coach thing. And they stopped giving updates. I think they got the Nick Saban treatment. I think the media got the Nick Saban treatment.
Quit asking.
And so people stopped
asking. Again, it's so funny. They just won 9 straight games or 8 straight games, whatever it was. They just didn't lose for 2 months, and so all the stuff that we cared about early in the season just kind of like, yeah, whatever, they just win every week.
Winning papers over everything. We know you got a bad culture until you start winning, and then your culture is great. Just how it is. Even if you're doing the same things you were doing before, but now you're winning the games, obviously you have to have a great culture. And then if you start to lose, even if you are consistent in what you do, culture's bad. It's how it always goes. We're bottom line, and the Texans have won games. So all the little things that we might have picked at before, there's no need to pick at them until or if they pop up again and cost you. Let's hope it doesn't do that. Let's hope that doesn't happen on Monday. And Sean and I are both thinking it won't. So
there's still, as you get closer to the game, there's just more and more like, it's the NFL, it's Aaron Rodgers.
You become less confident, yeah, because you realize the history of this thing and just how the NFL goes. There's no reason to believe this Texans team is a juggernaut and can't possibly lose a game in Pittsburgh. Exactly. It's just that they shouldn't, is all. That's where we are. They shouldn't, but I'm not saying they won't. All right, we'll go to break. We'll talk about a team who shouldn't have lost the game last night, but did. And the Rockets were disgusted. And I think it has a lot to do with who did it to him. Like if Shea goes off and you know he's getting the benefit of calls, you've come to accept that, okay, superstar, MVP, won a title. You don't like it, but you kind of understand it. I think, and we're going to get some sound from a Rocket in particular. We'll play that. I think the response from the Rockets after their loss to the Blazers last night has a lot to do with who perpetrated the loss and helped them lose that game. Not how it actually went. Sometimes you're like, this guy can't be allowed to get away with that. And that was the energy the Rockets kind of showcase throughout the game. Royale Ivy at halftime couldn't believe it. And Tar Eason, we'll hear from him. He played a big part in that game, and his words may get him fined. We'll play those words when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show, live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's Del Olalea.
So the Rockets give up 41 points to Denny Avdija in their 103-102 loss to the Blazers last night. The Rockets are struggling to break 100 points without Alperen. Going back to the Dallas game where he got hurt early, that was a struggle offensively. And, of course, it took Kevin Durant's heroics to beat the Suns in a game where I believe they scored 6 points over the last 6 minutes of the contest. And then last night they get to 102. Could have been 104. The ball unfortunately was still on the tips of Tari Eason's fingers on his putback. Kevin Durant missed a shot that would have given the Rockets a win and his second consecutive game winner. Tari had the putback. It just remained on his fingertips. They did a review. Initially they called it good, reviewed, said it was still in his hands. So the Rockets go down in Portland. Portland, as we talked about yesterday, had been playing better basketball, and that continued last night. They'll play the Rockets again here shortly. The Rockets will play the second of two games against the Blazers over the course of a couple of days tomorrow. So, Denny Avdija, 41 points. He's a guy who gets to the line a lot. That was something the Rockets were going to have to limit. They did not. He shot lots of free throws. The and ones, or simply just getting the line after drawing contact, became more and more frustrating for the Rockets. He wound up getting to the line 15 times. 15 times for Denny Avdija, made 13 to get to his 41 points. At halftime, Royale Ivy, the Rockets assistant coach, said it was diabolical that Denny Avdija had been to the line 10 times before halftime. Diabolical isn't really an assault on the referee, so I think Royale Ivy will be fine. It may be him showing his disdain for the calls or just even his team not being able to defend without fouling, but that can be up to interpretation. You know, he said it's diabolical. What does that mean? We don't know. Royale Ivy will be fine. A guy who won't be fine, well, in fact, he will be fined, is Tari Eason. Very straight to the point, he was asked after the game about Denny Avia, and he attributed at least that success of Denny Avia's last night to one specific group. Here's Tari Eason after the game.
Zebras.
He was asked about the effectiveness of Denny Avia, and it was just zebras. And of course, unless Adam Silver, whoever is up on the disciplinary committee for the NBA, unless they don't know that particular terminology, Tari's going to catch one. It likely won't be as big as Ime's. When he was calling out referees and being starstruck.
They're starstruck.
And shouldn't even be out there. Well, so either shouldn't be out there or were simply starstruck. He made both those statements. It probably won't go to that level, but Tari's going to catch it. You can't blame, so be open about blame the referees. You can't be that open about it.
Yeah. Also, they don't even wear the stripes.
No, it's not even a thing anymore.
Like,
so
they don't do that.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
When's the last time an NBA ref wore
time to Google.
Stripes.
I know.
Back in the day, I still think of, they just still wore like the gray shirt.
Did they ever wear stripes?
I'm sure Bob Cousy era, they probably wore stripes.
Yeah, like, long time ago when Bill Russell, I got a picture up here right now, when Bill Russell was playing.
Okay.
They wore stripes. Now that's just an NFL thing. And hockey, I think they wear stripes. It is not an NBA thing anymore.
Because I think even like Jordan era, they were wearing gray.
I mean, now some of these jerseys, I guess they still try to pay tribute to the back in the day. So they're like little stripes, but not like black and white. It's just kind of sublimated stripes on some of these.
I like the idea
uniforms
that the referee uniforms have to pay tribute to our.
I don't know why.
Listen, we're paying homage to the like when they announce an alternate jersey. That's like we're paying homage to the roots of the, you know, the City Edition New Rockets jerseys. They're purple for, well, we can't say why they're purple, but they are purple to pay homage to Houston's unique rap scene.
Oh, okay. So I'm looking at a picture of three referees in a huddle from 2021, and there are like thin stripes on these gray jerseys. So at some point they got away from that, but yeah, they kept, in at least that year, they kept stripes. So zebras are not.
Zebras.
Just zebras. 103-102 is the final. The Rockets lose to another team below 500, and they continue their, if you want to say, road woes. They're now 11-10. They're not a very good road team, and scoring has been at a premium for them recently. Hey, Kevin Durant had a great night, 37 points. Amen, good, 24. But in totality, when you get nothing from your bench at all, like Dorian Finney-Smith, only 3 points. Reece Shepard did have 8, but it was on 3-10 shooting. Not a good night from him or from Jabari. And Tari, who was talking about the zebras, if I'm the refs, when you don't go 5-for-18, you can blame us for stuff. If you go 5-for-18, don't talk about us.
Almost 6-for-19, though. Almost
That's
six
true.
For 19.
It would have been a big 6-for-19.
I was already like, I don't know, early fourth quarter, just being like, all right, well, they can't make a 3. So at some point, my analysis is just like, well, you went down and then you kind of just played them even, but you're still down like 6 for the entire game.
Yeah.
And you can't make a shot. Like, you're just going to lose in the NBA, not making shots and missing free throws. And then Tari Eason almost won the game in the last 5 seconds. And I was like, oh, wow, I might have to retract. You can't win a game shooting whatever they were shooting at any given moment. It's like, you can't win a game shooting this way. And then, one extra tenth of a second. They might have won a game shooting what they shot.
The sequence after Tari knocked down a 3 with about 2 minutes, 45 seconds ago, the Blazers went on a quick 5-0 run, and I thought the game was over. Like, it went from 96-92 to 101-92 in about 48 seconds. Shane Sharp made a shot after Kevin Durant missed a shot. Tari's shot was blocked, and then Stephen Adams threw the ball in the backcourt. It led to one of those aforementioned free throws and ones from Denny Avia, which was pissing the Rockets off. Tari was the guy who committed the foul.
Zebras.
Yes, zebras. At 101-92, I thought the game was over, and then Kevin Durant went on a run himself. Avia got an and one opportunity again, missed it, but he shouldn't have got that opportunity. But why did he, Sean?
Zebras.
There it is. So he kept getting to the line, and at 103-97, because he missed the free throw, and then the Blazers got the ball back off the offensive rebound, and Kevin Durant did get a block on Avia. The Zebras didn't call the foul this time.
Zebras.
No foul call this time. So they learned their lesson. No foul call. And then things started turning in the Rockets' favor. They got to the free throw line. Amen Thompson did.
Zebras.
Kevin Durant got back to the line.
Zebras. Zebras.
And all of a sudden, it's 103-102 because the Blazers played the free throw game where they're up by three after the Amen Thompson free throws. And then when Caleb Love, remember him? Caleb Love, a formerly of UNC and Arizona Wildcats.
Like, the same Caleb Love.
It's the same Caleb Love.
Okay.
He, for some reason, had the ball come his way for a knockdown three that would have ended the game. Of course, he's Caleb Love, so he missed it. And then he
was pretty good. He was pretty good last night. It was decent.
But I'm not expecting him to make a clutch, put the game away shot.
I think he was decent because I was like, Caleb Love?
Yeah.
And then he made some shots in an NBA game. I was like, whoa.
But I was not expecting him. Last guy, if
no,
I'm a Blazer.
No, in that moment, yeah.
If I'm a Blazers fan, that's the last guy I want taking that shot at that moment.
So get back to Avia.
Yeah, you'll get to the line because of why?
Zebras.
There it is. So once Caleb Love misses that shot, Tiago Splitter, remember him? He is their interim coach because of, you know, the Chauncey Billups stuff from earlier in the year.
Zebras.
Well, that was more.
Well, the,
are the is the
real
FBI?
Life version of zebras.
The FBI? The feds? Are the zebras of real life?
Yeah.
Of law enforcement?
Referees are the FBI of the NBA.
Got it. Yeah, the FBI and the rest. Feds in just different ways. So Kevin Durant wasn't thrilled with getting fouled. He wanted a chance to knock down a game-tying three. And he pointed at Tiago Splitter for directing his team to foul. Yeah, I'm not letting you shoot a shot that could tie the game. Sorry.
I see how that went for the Suns.
Yeah, why would I let you get up a shot? He pointed right to Tiago Splitter. I mean, sure. I didn't want it to happen. It'd be fun to watch Kevin Durant with a chance to tie the game.
Yeah.
But I understand the move.
That's the fouling up three thing.
That people do not like.
It's just like, yeah, it would just be way more fun if you didn't do that.
But my job isn't to make it fun. Yeah. My job is to go win the game if I'm Tiago Splitter.
It's crazy because I don't remember it being like this big of a thing.
A lot of guys don't. A lot of old school coaches said, hey, we're just going to play defense.
Yeah,
because you know why? Because of what happened.
Yeah.
The scenario of you allow them to get two free points, Kevin Durant knocked down the shots, and then we're trying to inbound the basketball. You don't. It was initially called a loose ball foul on Tarisson. Why?
Zebras.
But then, after review, what happened?
Zebras.
The Zebras said we were wrong, Rockets basketball, because Tari wound up with the basketball inbounds, and then it wound up with a Kevin Durant shot to win the game. He missed it. Tari had to put back. Why aren't the Rockets winners?
Zebras. The Zebras.
The Zebras said the ball was still in his hand. The Rockets go down 103-102. Lose to a below-average team, which has been kind of the Rockets' trademark over the last 2 weeks. They're fine, but that's a game you felt like you should have won, but a certain group of people decided your fate.
Zebras.
I actually kind of don't think the Rockets should have won that
game.
No,
I don't think so. I think they should have won.
And then they got really close to winning it.
Yeah.
But I still, for, you know, the first, I don't know, hour and a half of that game, I was like, or no, maybe not the first. Because in the first half, it was still close, and I was like, okay, there's still time that.
Yeah, they were down 10 at the half.
Yeah. And then in the third quarter, they made a run to get it close. And it just kind of stayed a 5-6. You know, 7-2, back to 7-point game for, I don't know, the entire fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And that's when I was like, all right, there's a possession where they got 5 shots and missed all 5 of them. I was like, all right.
Tonight's not the night.
This thing's over.
And then it almost was.
Yeah.
For the second consecutive game, their defense woke up in the second half. They gave up, I think, 60 to the Suns in the first half and then 57 to the Blazers. And then they shut them down. The Blazers scored 46, which allowed for the Rockets to get back in it, despite the fact that their offense wasn't humming. But Denny Avia and his numbers proved to be enough. Why, Tari?
Zebras.
Yes. And I think that's the biggest issue. It's Denny Avia. The Rockets are prideful, we know. they are part of a group of teams that are not, they don't mess around. The Thunder were, at least they still are, but I put them in that category until, you know, they started to mess around quite a bit over the last 2 weeks or so. The Pistons are like that too, where everything is an affront. Even you scoring a basket is insulting to the Rockets, particularly if you're Denny Avdija, who has a little celebration. I think it's some version of the John Cena "you can't see me" thing.
Yeah, because I think I really noticed it most when he would get and ones, which happened a few times,
quite a bit.
Why Tari's?
Zebras.
Mm-hmm. And then I noticed he was doing the "you can't see me" thing,
which had to have been infuriating.
Yes, and then I noticed after, you know, the second or third and one from Denny Avdija, I was like, oh, it's because they're playing the champ is here. Like, they're playing the John Cena song.
Every time he does something?
I guess when he goes to the line. I noticed it when he went to the line.
Okay.
So because, like Tari Eason, I noticed that he was going to the free throw line.
The Rockets, if they're playing it every time he goes to the line, the Rockets heard it a lot last night. They heard that song a lot.
Yeah, so I understand that you're just like, this guy, really? But Denny Avdija has been
good this year. Yeah, so.
And before the game, they had, or I think it was actually yesterday, they had the second fan voting returns for the All-Star game. Denny Avdija has over a million votes for All-Star. He has more votes. He's seventh in the West. LeBron James is eighth. Kevin Durant is ninth. Alperen Şengün is tenth.
Portland Trailblazer fans.
Showing
up, apparently, for their guy.
Austin Reeves, 11th. Like the list of guys he's above is just, like, all the, you know, fan favorites of the past. I mean, James Harden is in this. Kawhi Leonard, I guess the Clippers started the year terribly, so I get why they don't have a ton of fan support there. But it is funny that he has, like 500,000 more than than Alperen Şengün. He has 500,000 All-Star votes.
Rocket fans, what are you up to?
Turkey, what are you doing?
That too.
I thought that was the whole point of international. They're talking about how Yang Hansen, the Chinese big man that the Blazers have, Ryan Hollins brought up like three times. That was a big Yao Ming fan. I was like, yeah, I understand. This isn't mind-blowing, Ryan Hollins. I understand why the 20-year-old Chinese guys who plays basketball is 7 foot tall as a Yao Ming fan.
But Ryan Hollins just wanted to make sure.
He had that in his notes, and he wanted to make sure it got
just
in there.
Just in case you weren't aware. So the Rockets will see that giant Yao Ming fan again tomorrow, along with Denny Avdija. Let's hope to avoid the sweep by the Blazers. That wouldn't be great, to allow the Blazers to get back to 500 by sweeping you over two ball games. But keep Denny Avdija off the line, and you got a real shot. We'll go to break with that. If you want to join us, 713-780-3776. Shauna, I'm going to need you. Well, I need you to help me out, because I'm in the mode where I'm just floating through the rest of the day. I'm just trying to get to 6:30. There's not a lot I care about up until 6:30. Biggest game my team has played in like 20-something years. I was watching highlights of Ole Miss against their best opponents last night, thinking to myself, you know what? That old line sucks. Convincing myself that my team's going to win, and then I realized, yeah, that old line sucks, and they still score 30-plus points in all those games because of that guy who plays quarterback. So there's the push and pull of, we should win this game. And then it's like, oh, yeah, but yeah, that guy's over there.
Georgia's D-line beat the Ole Miss O-line.
The crap out of Ole Miss, and it still didn't matter. Yeah.
Did not matter.
So I'm in the mode of going, they aren't good. Yeah, except the most important player in the field is playing for them. And he might be the best player in the field, at least when it comes to importance tied with performance. So you have played, or at least watched your team play, in two semifinals over the last two seasons.
And a Cheez-It Bowl victory.
Of course. I've seen a lot. You've seen a lot of good football from your team the last three seasons. What are the hours like as you contemplate, we're one win away from a national title? You've experienced it. I'm experiencing it right now. We'll talk about the CFP when we come back. We'll also hear from Chandler Rome, because after Jim Crane went over to Japan, we already know about Tetsuya Imai being here, but the Astros are going all in overseas in the Asian market. Jim Crane is devoting resources over there, so we'll hear from Chandler Rome on that as well. We'll be back.
ESPN 97.5.
You're back inside the Huntington Bank Studios with Del Olalea and Sean Mapes.
I'm hurt, dog. Don't ask me if I'm all right. Hell no. Joaquin said dominate, and we not doing it. I put my heart in this shit, dog. Let's go, man.
Let's go.
It is in Miami lore. Will never be forgotten. 2001, Ed Reed, halftime of the Miami-Florida State game. He said that. By the way, they're up 21-13 at the time. They're playing a rival on the road who hadn't lost a home game in like 45 opportunities. But Joaquin did say dominate the offensive tackle, and they weren't doing it. They went on to win by like 20-plus points and then went on to win the title. Reuben Bain has a speech like that that Sean would have to clean up a lot.
Is it the hit stick bust?
No, that's from 1999, I think, or 98.
Ray Lewis was in that.
Al Blades is playing, and a young Ken Dorsey is in that video. Al Blades.
I saw that one. That's like obviously on the suggested
page. Well, I had
page.
I played it earlier. Oh, okay. Get myself hyped up during a break.
Yeah, so I was like, I don't think I can play this one coming back.
It's a lot of hit D, bust D, talk S. No.
Thank you for whoever cleaned up that Ed Reed one probably 25 years ago now.
Probably the U part two probably cleaned it up because it was in that doc.
Yeah, and now that's just the default. Like, I can't find the unclean version of that.
Yeah, a lot of programs have seminal moments in their history. For a Miami fan of my age, that clip during that national title run is something that we'll always remember. Yeah. Now, the question is, since we're now doing CFP stuff, will Reuben Baines, if you missed it, the University of Miami does a cinematic recap of, their wins. And, of course, when you're in the CFP, you're going to put a lot of extra into it. So Reuben Bain at halftime is talking about how Ohio State doesn't want it like they want it. They haven't bled like they've bled. They haven't cried like they've cried. It is now, of course, they have to finish the deal. But you can see where that speech is going to go if they win the title, because it will be the Ed Reed speech of this generation for Miami football. Now you just got to go win two more games. Easier said than done.
Yeah.
But you have to clean that thing up because it came from the official account and they didn't even want to clean up. Like Reuben Bain said the F word multiple times. They cleaned it up like once because it was the bulk of the speech. And then you hear players going, F them. F them, you hear all the F words.
Oh, like off mic or camera.
Yeah.
Basically.
And I think Reuben Bain says it one more time and they let that one go. So that one's going to need a lot of beeps if it's going to live on.
Shout out to that, whoever runs the whatever social media team for the Miami Hurricanes, knowing the assignment, but keeping his job so he does it the first time.
Yeah. So
knowing the assignment of like, come on.
Like in the bulk of the 30 seconds of what Reuben Bain says when he's addressing the team, there's the bleep. But when it just devolves into F Ohio State, not just from him, but from a lot of the other players, they didn't touch that. Okay. So if ESPN decides this was Reuben Bain last in the Cotton Bowl at halftime, they got a lot of work to do to make that playable. That's all. But if you just want to hear it in its entirety,
I feel like you should. What's the point of playing it, but every other word being bleeped out? You know, like
because you can hear him say they don't want it like we want it. They haven't cried like they cried. They haven't bled like they bled. And he starts off, hey, you guys, you know, I don't say a lot, but then he goes into the speech. So you can use that, but then the stuff that the fans are gonna love is when you just hear random Canes, you don't even know who they are, just saying. And because you know how many times a Miami fan has said F Ohio State over the last 25 years. The players are just doing the same thing we've been doing for over two decades. So
they've taken up the mantle.
So that's, I don't know. Ole Miss has their own recap. I haven't watched it. I don't know if there's an Ole Miss speech that'll rival what Reuben Bain said. none of it matters, really, what was said. We'll see what happens tonight as we talked about going to the break. Miami will likely have the advantage on both lines, but when you have a quarterback on a heater, it can change things. So I think Miami at this point is a 3-point favorite.
Yes.
In Glendale. And the history, for those who don't know, Miami has played in several Fiesta Bowls. Of course, the most notable one is the championship game they lost to Ohio State. They lost another title game when Vinny Testaverde decided he's just going to throw picks to Penn State because it's just what he wanted to do that day.
That was interesting that he did that.
People have been questioning it to this day, how a guy who just won the Heisman Trophy. I don't know if that started it, but he is certainly part of the back then when you win the Heisman Trophy, you're going to be terrible in bowl games. Jason White has that on his resume too. Plenty of guys do. Chris Winkie, 2000 against Oklahoma. So it's been a thing. Vinny might have started the whole thing, but he was bad. And then there's a game in 93 against Arizona where they got shut out. So they've had a bad history. If you want to say the juju is gone, it's a different stadium altogether. That stadium where the Fiesta Bowl was initially held was where Arizona State plays. This game, of course, is where the Cardinals play. So
That's better.
It's certainly better. So the ghost of
no
Fiesta Bowl, no.
No fatigue.
They just showed up in their Adidas issued sweats.
Okay.
No fatigues this time around.
Because we're paying a lot of homage to Miami of past.
I wouldn't pay any homage to any Fiesta Bowl stuff.
Okay.
All of it's been bad.
Okay.
A lot of heartbreak. So you have, I wouldn't say heartbreak. I don't know how you respond to your team losing. You've been in two semifinals the last couple of years.
Yes, I have.
Your heart has been in it. You haven't been lining up at wide receiver, but your heart has been in these games. Yes, correct.
Lined up in the slot.
Nice differentiator. Sean wasn't actually playing in the games, and now he's got a call to answer. He wasn't playing in the games, but he has been a guy who has been locked in. I don't know how to feel. I'm excited. I'm anxious. I'm ready for the game. Slow build up to actually starting to get nervous, but here it is, and Sean has been there before. What's it like, Sean? The build up to being a game away.
It the 12 team is definitely, because I've experienced both the 4 and the 12 team format.
Yeah, you're a real one.
The 12 team is hard because beating Ohio State, you're just like, oh my god, we just beat Ohio State, and then it's like, got another game. We got two more games to play to finish this thing off. Like, it is a grind. The 12 team playoff is definitely like, oh my god, it can never celebrate, can never rest. And by today, like, I'm like, can we just play this at like 2:00? Like, can we just like hurry this up? Like, you'll get home. You'll get home earlier than I did, and you'll just like be sitting around, just being like, when's this game start? I would put on the pregame stuff, but then I would just get like annoyed by like the timer that says like there's still an hour and 45 minutes this game. So then I'd like try to watch something else, but then I'm heart's not into it at all. It is restless. I don't know about you personally, or you know what you set your thermostat to in your house, but I'm a big like I have to cool it down because I will be sweating.
Got it.
I will be like uncomfortable and anxious. Eating's important.
I don't like eating around the games.
Okay.
I can't actually. Okay. It doesn't even cross my mind, honestly. Although,
really?
By the time I get home, there'll be enough time while I probably will eat. But in different scenarios, if this game's like at 4:30, I wouldn't be eating.
Okay. Okay. That's interesting.
It's just appetite always goes.
Oh, really? Yeah. I always like, I need to eat something early, like before the game. And then, or else I'm just like starving in the third quarter, and I'm like, oh my god, I can't do anything. Like that is the worst thing that could have possibly happened to me. That's not true, but it's bad. Not the worst thing that could possibly happen. The worst thing that could possibly happen to me actually did happen to me when Jack Sawyer.
The thought of being on a drive to tie the game and
being like
and. It gets taken away from you like that.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Oh, yeah. And then having to be like, now I have to eat, I guess.
Yeah.
Now,
go on with life.
Now I have to heat up this pizza, this frozen pizza.
It's true, yeah.
All right. But yeah, no, you know, I don't really have any, like, you know, pearls of wisdom. It's just, It's just miserable. It's like game sevens, you know, that's what it feels like, where it's like, I'm slowly like bleeding out and then, oh, we won. That's sure. All it is. I'm slowly dying and then maybe not.
In the brain and the mind of a fan, it's just silly because I'm starting to think, hey, we're a game away from playing for a national. They're a game away from playing in a national title in their home building. And what type of spectacle will that be? And I'm like, no, don't get ahead of yourself. Like, it matters if I get ahead of myself. It's all dumb stuff like that.
Yeah, I don't really do that. I mean, I'll do that. I don't hold myself to that.
Yeah.
In my head.
Sure.
Out loud, I won't just be like, man, it would be so sick winning this thing.
You don't want to jinx stuff.
Yeah, it's just like, I don't want to get ahead of myself. But in my head, I definitely thought about it. I mean, when they beat Arizona State and were going to play Ohio State in Dallas, I was just like, all right, good luck.
A home game. Yeah.
Yeah, all right. Sounds good.
And if not for Travion Henderson.
Yeah.
And then,
yeah.
You know, Jack Slur, who knows how that would have gone.
Who knows? And, you know, changed Quinn Ewers' life forever. Maybe changed Mike McDaniel's life forever. No. The butterfly effect.
Sure. Quinn Ewers was the reason that today happened. If you missed it, Mike McDaniel fired. The Dolphins make the move. And of course, the Dolphins have it out there that, and they've worked through multiple reporters, but Jeff Darlington's the latest of NFL Network. Or is he with ESPN? I don't know where he is now. But he said the Harbaugh thing had nothing to do with it.
Pay no mind.
Pay no mind to the obvious scenario where this coach who's had great success is on the market. Nothing to do with our decision that we waited till Thursday to make. Nothing to do. Stephen Ross toiled over his decision.
Yeah, just had to think about it.
And he came to the conclusion that Mike McDaniel is no longer to run his organization.
Stephen Ross does. It's just measured, planned out, long-term thinking, and it's you can't argue with the results. Oh, wait.
You can argue with the results because he didn't get the job done. But the targets we talked about yesterday. He was right to try.
Yeah.
He was just bad in his execution, and considering his history, he'll probably be bad at this. But at least he got off the guy that was in the way, and now you can interview the guys that you don't want to hire and see if John Harbaugh wants the job.
Oh, man. They should – you know who they should ask to
– Anthony Weaver.
What?
Anthony Weaver to get the Rooney Rule out of the way.
Well, don't you have to do two?
Sure. You have to. I do believe you have to do another one.
There's another defensive coordinator up in Minnesota that's been doing a lot of good work.
Brian Flores will be interviewing with the Ravens, apparently.
Hey, and then after the Ravens, maybe just
catch up. I don't think you need to do that.
Okay.
I think you can avoid that one. Elliot, you want to talk Texans? We can certainly do that as the Texans face your Steelers, I think. I think Elliot's a Steeler fan, if it's the same Elliot. So we'll see what he thinks about his Steelers' chances. If he's listening to this station or others in the market, there's a lot of confidence, at least in the belief that the Texans should win the game. Factors can determine and create a different outcome. But for the most part, this is a city who expects to still be playing playoff football after a Monday night. Maybe the Steelers change that. We'll talk to Elliot and you, if you so choose, 713-780-3776. We'll get to the second hour when we come back.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 and HD 97.9 HD2.